interesting to me that a season that's supposed to be so celebratory can become so stressful. That's the truth. You know, we're people. But
there's joy.
I've been thinking a lot these last couple of weeks as we've been looking at these Advent themes of waiting, of last week talking about sin, today talking about joy. And I'm struck that in the songs we sing that we stand upon a great tradition, don't we? This faith has been passed on. That by God's Spirit, it has not been snuffed out, although various governments and folks have tried to put a stop to things, but it carries on. And throughout the years and hundreds of years and thousands of years since Christ has been here, we've built a great foundation that we go back upon all the time. God's Word and the songs we're singing. I don't know if you've been, I think more this year than other years I've had, I've been just looking at these words of these hymns and things we've been singing, and it's fascinating to me that how often some of these different things come about. Like in thinking about Jesus' coming as a baby, how often our forebears went to Jesus' coming again. And you see that over and over and over again. That in that Advent, there's always the next Advent. And that thinking is there. And so I want our hearts and minds to be thinking and moving like that. I'll say it again. I know I've been saying it over and over again. But these readings that we have, it's been a joy to me to take these readings that are given in the lectionary. Again, from our past. And by God's Spirit to think, okay, Lord, what do you have to say to us? Now, I don't know about you, but today's series of readings was interesting to me. We have the Old Testament reading of Zephaniah. Sing aloud, shout, rejoice. Isaiah, I give thanks to you. Rejoice, give thanks, call upon his name. The reading of Paul in Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And then there's Luke. You brood of vipers! What is going on? That struck me this last week. I'm looking at, okay, how are these things fitting together? What am I doing with all this? Maybe I'll just put the Luke one aside. You know, because it's joy, right? We got the pink candle. It's the Advent Sunday of joy. We talk about rejoicing. Okay, it's all good. Lord, what were our forebears thinking when they stuck this John the Baptist passage in here? And then I started thinking about it. And what I think God has put upon my heart, and hopefully what they were thinking, is when John said, in there he said, bear fruits in keeping with repentance. Bear fruit. Bear fruit. You know, in our world, you know, it's easy to put on appearances. You ever see that old British show, Putting Up Appearances? It's totally ridiculous. You know, a lady who wants everything to look good even though everything's a mess. And we do that. You know, we do it all the time. Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Now, hopefully, when you hear that word, bear fruit, maybe you think about Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, all these things. And I thought about it. You know, when we talk about joy and rejoicing, that's a fruit. That is a fruit of the Spirit. An identifying mark of a Christian should be joy. Yeah. Joy is not something that we celebrate once a year at Advent. Joy is who we are. Bear fruit. Fruit. In keeping with repentance. So as we think about this great salvation that was given us in Jesus, part of the Spirit's response in our lives then is joy. And we don't think about that sometimes. Did you know that God wants you to be happy? It's true.
Yeah.
It is. He wants your joy. He came for your joy.
Yeah.
It's hard of us to think that way sometimes. We think often, hey, you know, I'll suffer through this life. We think about the groanings, creation, all those things. But joy. He wants us to have joy. Today, now, God wants you to be happy. And so in these passages that we had in Zephaniah and Isaiah, my question is why or how? Where does this joy come from? When Zephaniah says, sing aloud and shout, rejoice and exult. When Isaiah says, shout and sing. When Paul is saying, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Why? Why? What is the reason? Well, each one of them kind of gives us a similar answer. In Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, the Lord has taken away the judgment against you. In Isaiah, in verse 2 of that chapter 12, he says, behold, God, my salvation. And in Philippians, when Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always, again I say rejoice, let your reasonableness be known to everyone, he said, the Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. He's here. He's coming again. And for that we have joy. If a fruit of the Spirit is joy, an expression of it is something of who we are as people, we have to examine our hearts, don't we? I think there are far too many sour-faced Christians out there, and there's no reason. We should be the happiest, most joyful people in the world. Because it's real. It's real. Now, there's a lot in these passages. I want to focus in on the Isaiah passage because I see there are six expressions of our joy, of things that maybe we can try to make part of our lives as Christians. I just want to look at these six things. All right? Six things out of Isaiah in expressing our joy. All right? Number one, give thanks. We look in verse 3. It says, with joy. This is a fascinating picture. Just think about this. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Yeah. And you will say in that day, man, that picture of a well of joy, a well drawing my life. And he first says, and we will say what? Give thanks to the Lord. A mark of a Christian is a thankful heart. A thankful heart. Yeah. It's amazing how many times, over and over and over again, God speaks to us and reminds us and exhorts us and pleads with us sometimes. Be thankful. Yeah. I mean, throughout the Psalms, Psalm 118:1, oh, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. Give thanks to the Lord for he is good. Amen. Yeah. We see in other places in Romans 1 how part of the root of sin that took hold of us with Adam was being unthankful. He says in Romans 1:21, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. Part of our problem is not properly to give thanks to the one who really deserves our thanks. In Colossians 3:15, Paul again says, may the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. And be thankful. That's an imperative, a command. He's using strong language. Be thankful, because that is who you are. We are followers. Be thankful for salvation. Be thankful for Jesus. So a first mark we want to see is in our joy is a thankful heart. Give thanks. Number two, we see in Isaiah here, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. And they're really together there, but as I thought about that, you know, the reason for this season is Christ. And we want to call upon him that in our faith, we show people that we trust in God, that we are seeking the Lord. That's why we're here today. I mean, this is what we're doing. We're calling on the name of the Lord. We worship. And it's important to the world would see that who we are worshiping and why we are worshiping. It's why we go to church. This is the proper venue for thankfulness. In our coming together and our speaking, I got to tell you, so today, you know, for a reason, maybe, you know, maybe because the organ wasn't playing, it was just, you know, quiet in here. And before the service started, I was standing in the back there and everyone was just chatting. And it just warmed my heart. See, different people, you know, just talking to each other. This is our time together and it's good to be together. And part of that should be calling on his name and sharing our thankfulness and sharing how good God is to us. Acknowledging him in all our circumstances. Sharing the ups and the downs, and we can be honest about it, but by the Spirit we come together, it's joy.
Hallelujah.
It's joy. It's good. Give thanks. Call upon his name. The third one we see here, make known his deeds among the peoples. an expression of joy is the telling, right? When something good happens, we tell people. And in the advent of Christ, that is the very best thing ever. And so we tell. We tell. I mean, it seems obvious, but how often we, because of shyness or fear, that can quash that joy. But logically, if we think about it, the natural response to joyous things, to happy events, is the telling.
Yes.
It's interesting, I think, C.S. Lewis, and had a little book, and I read an article about it today, yesterday. He had a problem with the Psalms. And here was his problem. He said, you know, it's well and good to give thanks, but it seems to me that this God is demanding praise from us all the time. And in fact, he was so much that he bothered him so much, he compared it to a pompous lady seeking compliments and just desiring to be praised. And in our desire to have ourselves uplifted, we sometimes miss the point of lifting up God.
Right.
But what changed for Lewis as he thought about this was that part of the joy of praise, in fact, the completing of it, is the expression of it. I mean, we praise things all the time, right? We, you know, my wife, she's lovely. Now, I can think it, but the real joy of my enjoyment of that is my expression of it. If I don't say it, if I never tell anybody, then there's a completeness that's lacking. And we do that with many things, a work of art. And Lewis saw that it's not vanity, that God, in his desire for praise, isn't being vain. He's completing the joy. The joy is not complete until there's an expression of it. And that makes sense. I do think that. So our testimony, our desire to praise, is a completing of the joy. He saved me. He came. He saw my heart. Psalm 96:2 says, sing to the Lord, bless his name, tell of his salvation from day to day. And in that we have a completion of the joy. Number four, then, proclaim that his name is exalted. A similar thought, and it's putting the proper place of lifting up the name of God. It's the reason for the season. It's not about Santa Claus. It's about him. It's about glorifying him in his name. It's giving him the credit where credit is due. And it should happen, again, naturally in the things we say and we do. In the language that we use. When we talk to people, good things happen. And so we thank the Lord. You know, oh, wow, that's a nice car you have. Wow, thank the Lord. It's really blessed me. God is good to me. The Lord's really helped me this week. The little things we say proclaims his name to those around us. Now, of course, it should be natural amongst us. I mean, easy. Way we can proclaim and say, I'm so happy because this happened, that happened, and whatever it is. But out in the world, too, they need to hear, to have an understanding that he is working all the time.
Hallelujah.
Proclaim his name and exalt him on high. Number five, I see out of Isaiah in verse 5. Sing praises. You ever think, why do we sing? I've been asked that question. Come to the service, why do you sing so much? I don't like singing. I'm not a good singer. Why do we sing? Why do people sing at all? Right? It's an expression. There's something in music. And whether you're a good singer or not a good singer, there's something that's moving. And again, almost a spontaneous acclamation. It comes out of us sometimes. Now again, maybe for some people more than others, but there's something about singing that elevates praise. It's an expression of joy. It's a condition of our heart. You know, if you're in a good mood, just kind of happy about the day or whatever, something good happened, we just kind of hum. Just, you know, it happens. You know, who's really good at that? You know, who hums a lot? Is my son John. He's a hummer. And you can kind of tell. You can register his mood sometimes. He's not humming. What's going on? Or maybe just be, you know, sometimes you just sing. You know, again, and that's an expression of joy. That's why we sing. I remember was a little church in Fargo, North Dakota. And for some reason, there's this group of guys, and they just, I don't like to sing. You know, in fact, some of these guys, they would like, show up late on purpose to the service just so they didn't have to sing. Come on, guys. literally, be a man here, all right? Come on. Man, you know, I probably mentioned this before, but I, you know, years and years ago when the Promise Keepers was a thing, maybe still be, I don't know, I haven't heard about it lately, but I went to a conference at the Metrodome in Minneapolis. So here's, I think, like 20,000 guys, and they were singing. And they were saying how great thou art. And then, like, one of the verses, like, they had no music. And the leaders who had the microphones, they just stopped singing. And there's 20,000 guys singing, "How great thou art." And it was the most moving thing I've ever seen. There's a joy to sing praises to God. Sing praises. All right. So that's the fifth one. And the sixth one, I just had to put this in here. In verse 6 of Isaiah, it says, "Shout." Y'all shouted lately? But have you ever been like so excited about something that you just, your voice goes up and you're just so happy? There's a joy. There's something in volume that expresses something more. Now, of course, you know, we don't want to get carried away. You know, don't get carried away. Why not? Are you kidding me? I was dead and now I'm alive?
Amen.
I think that's shout worthy.
Hallelujah.
I do. Now, again, you may not raise the volume, but your attitude, your heart, you can shout. It's important. Let people know that something good has happened. There's joy. There should be enthusiasm. Now again, you know, you may not raise your voice or get all crazy about it, but in your heart of hearts, who you are, because of all this, because he saved us, because we had this great salvation, shouting, so to speak, should be part of who we are.
Hallelujah.
Part of who we are. So, there they are. Give thanks, call on his name, proclaim his name, exalt him, sing praise to God, shout it out to the world. So, the question then is that you? Do these six things characterize your life? If someone was to talk about you, would these kind of things be part? Would they say, there's a joyous guy. There's a joyous woman. Where is our joy? Where is it? Where is the joy? So, what if it's not there? What do we do? Well, as I've said before, I want to be joyful, right? And maybe in your heart you're thinking, you know, I want to be joyful. I really do. I ran across a thing just this morning that I thought was very helpful on what to do if you're just not feeling it in our worship and our joy. The first thing we want to make sure we do is just confess the state of our heart before God. You know, we know reality. Sometimes your life just is not joyful. And we may know in our hearts that I have reason to be joyful, but I'm just not feeling it. Or maybe you're here on a Sunday morning and the songs are up here and you're just like, whatever. Confess. God will hear you. He will hear you. Confess that state of your heart. And then to mourn it. Don't let it become the norm. Fight it. Be sad about it. Know and name it for what it is. Don't be content then of how it is. Don't let a lack of joy be part of who you are. You should be bothered by it. Don't be content in that. And then just pray that God would change your heart. Like with anything else in our lives, you know, in our the process of sanctification. I mean, part of that I hope would be just as we're becoming more and more holy, to become more and more like Christ, we become more and more joyful. We will rejoice more and more. And so in this process, pray, God, please change my heart. Give me joy.
Amen.
Joy in spite of my circumstances. Joy in understanding of who I am in you. Joy in understanding of what I have to look forward to.
Hallelujah.
Joy in the advent of Christ coming to save me, and joy in the coming advent that He's coming again, and whatever sufferings or problems I have now, I've got it really good.
Yes.
And then sing. Sing, pray, listen to God. Sometimes, in the act of our wills to God, and just submitting to Him and say, Lord, you know what? I don't want to sing, but I will. Again, be careful not to be legalistic here, okay? But sometimes, as we're seeking Him, as we act it out, it will become. And sometimes, yeah, just humming that tune may lift your spirits in Him. And then after you've been going these things and praying and seeking God and listening, think about, you know, removing any obstacle that God has brought to your mind. Is there something in your life that is sapping your joy? Other activities, people sometimes, stuff that God has shown in your heart to sap your joy away. Get rid of it. Yeah. If your right eye is causing you sin, pluck it out. Right hand's causing it, cut it off. There are things in your life. If you're not experiencing the joy, if you're not in your heart singing, in your desire shouting, if you're not, that fruit of the Spirit is not flowering as it should be, maybe, get rid of it. Get rid of those things that would hinder you in this life. It's a Sunday of joy today. Where is your joy? Is your joy in the stuff that you have, the relationships you have, which are great. God has blessed us. And so we give thanks. But if that is the complete measure, then you're going to go up and down, won't you? So let's today look at our hearts, examine, and really be people of joy. So people out there will see it. Real joy. Constant joy.
Amen.
Consistent joy.
I
mean, it'd be so much that, you know, when you go to work or your neighbor is, and they go, you know, you're always smiling. What's your deal? It's not normal. No, it's not. It's not normal at all. That's the point. That is the point. Joy, joy, joy.
Hallelujah.
We've sang about it a lot today. Let's relive it today. Amen?
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful for what you've done. That in your advent, your coming, that you poured yourself out for us in our helplessness to save us. Oh, what joy there is. Oh, God, you've made us alive. Lord, may you be the God of our joy, a joy in you. Lord, help us. Forgive us for our crankiness sometimes. But, Lord, you are good. Help us to encourage each other in joy this week, I pray. Amen. Let's go with God in joy this week. Amen.